Welcome to today's Encore. It's a Friday, baby. And today we repurposed one of our shows from last year, March 5th, 2021. Now, today is the 4th. Friday of last year, this particular Friday of last year, was the 5th. That's kind of how that works. Anyway, from 2021, it's one-on-one with Bud Dickman. Bud gets the filthy details on Kenny Slagg's arrest. Also, Harvey Wireman and Coach Vernon Dozier guest, or our guests, or... Right, Bud?
Yeah, they came in and guessed it, and I, you know, interviewed them in a wide-ranging, you know, variety of topics.
Aren't you something? All right, so that's... Thanks, Bud.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So that's the show...
so funny.
Nothing. That's the show today, man. It's Bud Dickman, one-on-one with Bud, and a wide-ranging interview with all kinds of cats on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And now the world-famous Phil Hendry Show presents One-on-One with Bud Dickman.
Thank you very much, and this is Bud Dickman, and welcome to One-on-One with Bud Dickman. I'm Bud Dickman. I was about to say me, Bud Dickman. I'm Bud Dickman, and filling in for Phil Hendry, who is going to be tonight on a chat. So if you're at philhendryshow.com, you want to check out the chat, Mr. Henry's going to be there. From time to time, Mr. Hendry allows me to sit in and, you know, interview and kind of put my own special, you know, touch on it and everything. A lot of people say, and because of the people I hang out with, I just want to, first of all, I'm going to let Ricky know and Teddy, when I said I put my touch on it, you know, so, because I know they're out there right now going, hey, I'm talking about when I put my own personal touch on something, what I'm doing is I'm giving it my own flavor. See, that's a bad word, too. What I'm doing is I'm giving it...
Why don't you just...
Okay, Malcolm Esposito is going to be my first guest. What?
Well, why don't you just move on?
Because I've got these friends of mine.
Just... Bud's going to interview me, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, okay, I'll do it. But I do have these friends who call in, and like here, the line's ringing right now. Yeah. Bud Dickman Show, hello.
Was that your friends?
Yeah, it was. I mean, when I say I put my own touch on it, and you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how I give it my own personal feel for it. Well,
it's okay. I think most people understand.
I give it the Bud Dickman style, and that's what I'm going to do today here on one-on-one on Bud, or I mean one-on-one with Bud Dickman. And my first guest, thanks very much, Malcolm, for being my first guest. Malcolm Esposito, he's the announcer on a Kenny Slagg show. And so many people have so many questions about everything that Mr. Slagg has done.
I mean, what? Yeah, it's really interesting. And I sort of came into the Kenny Slagg story. I came into the Kenny Slagg story a little kind of sideways and late to the game, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you were not the original announcer.
Announcer?
I mean, I'm sorry, announcer.
No, I was not. I was not the original announcer on the show. That was a guy by the name of Art Prelean. And he was on for a number of years, and then Kenny got tired of him or something. They had an argument. And Mr. Slagg would argue with people, mostly with Carol, who is his producer. And she had a fiduciary interest in the program.
Now, what a lot of people want to know, Carol being the producer of Kenny Slagg with a fiduciary interest... Was she creatively in charge?
No, Mrs. Slagg was creatively in charge of everything, but she was always there to give her 2 cents. And is that Wayne Gretzky?
No, it's his father, Walter Gretzky. I mean, let's stick to the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I said that Wayne Gretzky died.
He did not die. Walter Gretzky died. He's the father.
So Carol was there. She would put her own personal stamp on it. And
seemed like it bothered Mr. Slagg.
It did bother him a lot, you know, because he wanted to do it his way, but he ran afoul of the law at the end.
Now, we're talking to Malcolm Esposito, who's an announcer on the Kenny Slagg Show here on 101 with Bud Dickman. And so everybody thought when he got arrested in Denver, Colorado, he pulled it, you know, he was pulling it or something.
Well, I don't know if it was, what do you mean pulling it?
I mean masturbating.
Yeah, he was. And the thing was, if people got the wrong idea, they said he pulled it out in front of people. He did not. He was in his truck. He wasn't in his truck, he was in his BMW. It was like a SUV, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. SUV, BMW SUV.
A PMW? A BMW? Oh, yeah. It was a BMW SUV. So, but he was,
He spanked it inside the Beamer.
Yes, he did. He spanked it in the Beamer. But so it was wrong for people to report that he was doing it. And, you know, he pulled it out in front of people and kids. And he didn't do that. But the Denver police arrested him for indecency and crimes against nature.
Now, what do you mean a crime against nature?
It had to do with, say, there was a piece of fruit involved in it, you know.
So they arrest you in Denver, Colorado?
Well, it might be a federal law or something. I don't know.
But we would have to get on Harvey Wireman a minute to find out if it is a federal offense to have sex. So he was having sex with a piece of fruit.
When they charged Kenny Flagg, and you know, understand, I'm not his lawyer. I can't speak for him. I'm telling what's in the newspapers. You know,
This is stuff I didn't see.
Okay. Well, what I saw in the newspapers, what I saw in the Camptown Racetrack thing, I thought, God damn.
The Camptown Race?
I always get into that loop. It's called the Camptown News. Camptown News in Camptown, Colorado.
I'm not familiar.
Anyway, they said that Mr. Flagg was spanking, well, he was masturbating. Not even that in the news. They said he was committing a natural act. With salad.
Good Jesus. You're kidding me.
Oh, what are you laughing about, man? It was very traumatic.
I'm not laughing. Well, I'm sort of laughing, only on account of how weird that is. They says that a natural act was salad.
They said it. Yeah, they did. They said it was not with a vegetable, and it was not really with a piece of fruit. They said it was a combination. So the judge said, Mr. Flagg, were you committing a foul against nature with a salad?
What are you talking about, man?
That's the way they pronounce it in the legal terms.
You sound like you're talking like Mrs. Gray. She's always going, you know, second syllable.
No, that's the proper pronunciation.
That's the proper pronunciation in the legal term.
Yeah, what Mr. Flagg, the judge said it was a personal foul against the lad. Bullshit. Swear to God. You can talk to Mr. Wireman if you get him on the phone.
Hey, get Harvey Wireman up on the phone now. And we have Mr. Wireman on the line here. Mr. Wireman in San Marino, California. And Mr. Wireman, sorry to bother you at this late hour, but I wanted to ask you some legal questions. And my understanding was Mr. Henry, you know, I mean, Mr. Henry said that I could.
Yeah, that's fine. You want to ask me something.
Is it true, and I have Malcolm Esposito here. Malcolm.
Hi, Mr. Wireman, this is Malcolm Esposito. I'm an author on Kenny Flagg.
Uh-huh, yes.
Do you know anything about the law in Denver, Colorado as it relates to self-abuse or...
Well, there's a couple of laws on the books in Denver, in Colorado, the state... Excuse me. Give me some of that peach juice, will you? Don't suck it down like that. Don't lip it. Excuse me for just 1 minute.
Yeah, it's okay. We're talking to Harvey Wireman. I have Malcolm Esposito on the line as we discuss exactly what went down with Kenny Flagg.
Thank you. Put it over there. And then you sit over there, too.
I'm sorry, did we get you?
Yeah, are we interrupting anything?
Oh, no, it's Cynthia's here. She's...
So, go ahead.
So, anyway, in Colorado, they use the old English terminologies. And so what happens is they... will say in the crime against nature, they're talking about what you're saying, which is someone was caught in a masturbatory act inside their car. You talk about the slag?
Yes, sir. Did you read about it?
I'm partially familiar with it because Mr. Henry told me a little bit about it. But so slag was caught in his car, technically committing a personal foul against the salad. And
so they do call it a salad.
You want to let me finish this, Dickman?
Okay, but I had a hard time believing that.
Yeah, he didn't want to believe me or anything, Mr. Wireman.
That's not unusual for Bud and the rest of the crew, because these guys wouldn't believe if they were sitting at a bonfire, even if you said, hey, your rear end is roasting.
That's not true. We're a skeptical crew, that's all.
Yeah, skeptical. So anyway... To answer your question, Mr. Esposito, what is your name?
It's Malcolm Esposito, sir.
Yeah. Mr. Slag was arrested in Denver for a personal foul against the salad, meaning a combination of vegetable, fruits, and other foliage, mounted yards, and things like this.
So it's not necessarily a salad that you eat.
A salad that I eat it?
No, a salad that you eat.
No, pull a plug on this thing. I'm done with this. In fact, wait a minute. I want to get some hot water. Hold on for a minute, will you? Yeah.
What'd you do?
I hung up on a guy. It's, you know, Mr. Henry said he can't do that in a bathtub. Anyway, we got the answer to the essential question, and the essential question was.
Yeah, the central, I got it. The central question was, what did Mr. Slag get arrested for?
Yeah, that's it. What did Mr. Slag get arrested for?
He got arrested for a personal foul against the thalad, or the thalad, because it's Old English.
So, that's not French.
It is French, but they use the Old English. The Old English uses the Old French.
What are you talking about, man?
You know exactly what I mean. So, Mr. Slag went inside for 6 months for paddling against a mango, but the law, technically, is a personal foul against a thalad or the thalad.
Okay, so anyway, I mean, that's a long way to run, man. I was trying to get the answer to why Mr. Slag, he's got a great, let me help you. Thanks a lot. He's got a great career, and he's going along strong.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, he gets arrested. Now, you came on as announcer on a show earlier than that, though, and you are the brother of Hal, the announcer, right?
That's right. My brother Hal owns a studio that the Kenny Slag people wanted to rent out. And they were always coming there because they're at their deal. See, across the street at Schmo, they had disease. There was always some smell. They had a sewer problem. They could not use it, you know.
So the reason why you guys didn't use another studio, or I mean the reason why they didn't use another studio is why?
Because the one that they had rented, Schmo Recording in Phoenix, there was some sort of an odor. Every time they come in there, there's an odor. You know, so they couldn't use it on account of that. Another time, the sewer line broke. Another time, someone left some food sitting out.
So the police, are you kidding me or something?
No. And then I said, we got to use the studio. They wanted to use the other studio because it's cheaper, and they like the engineer there. But they couldn't because of the smell.
So they call you up and they use yours?
Yeah, they use my brother's studio.
What's the name of your brother's studio again?
Worthington Studios.
Is that their family name?
No, our last name is Esposito.
Okay. Oh, that's right. So why is it called Worthington?
Because that's what my brother wanted to call it.
It's like the name of the guy he bought it from?
No. He just decided, oh, you know, let's call it Worthington.
What?
I think it, I don't know.
Did he like Cal Worthington, the car dealer in L.A.?
No, he hated him.
He hated him?
Yeah, he hated his commercials.
So maybe he called it Worthington Studios because he wants to
reclaim the name. He wants to, like, reclaim it and have Worthington be something good.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm talking here to Malcolm Esposito.
Will you ask me?
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm talking here to Malcolm Esposito, who's a announcer on the Kenny Slag show, and he's giving us the inside scoop on how what happened when Kenny Slag was, you know, or when he got arrested, and now his show's off the air, isn't it?
Well, right now they're not producing no new shows because Kenny sort of, he's gone off and he's trying to find a place to live, you know.
Well, what about the house he owns and everything?
All that stuff, the court took, like, all the legal, the lawsuits, because he got sued, you know. He got sued for mental cruelty by the arresting officers. They saw what he was doing to the cantaloupe.
I thought it was
with a mango or something.
Yeah.
They saw it, and the arresting officers are all like, you know, that bothered them. Then my brother sued him because of the mental cruelty it brought to us when we had to deal with him coming in all ashamed of having done it to a mango. And so it built on it, and it was a landslide, you know, just one thing built on the other until it was a landslide of humiliation.
Okay, and Kenny Slag now is homeless, basically.
He's not homeless, but he is looking for a place. I think he's staying over at Carol's house, which is old producer, but she told him he has to leave because her kid's coming back from college. And
God damn, that dude's really hit the skids, hasn't he?
In a lot of ways, yeah, he has, you know.
Okay, we're going to come back because I know we got Kenny Slag just called in.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with that? Okay, well, Kenny Slagg has just called in, and apparently he wants to get on. But we'll take a break here. This is One-on-One with Kenny Slagg and me, Bud Dickman, here. One-on-One on a Bud Dickman, you know, One-on-One show.
It's the name of Bud Dickman.
The name of the show is Bud Dickman One-on-One, or, yeah.
Bud Dickman One-on-One. We'll be right back. Hi, Paul Refuso for Gorgon Waste. When we pick up garbage from your home, we reconstitute it into its original form and sell it back to you at a profit to us. How about that?
Bullshit!
Are you suffering from delusions such as what this man suffers from? Try the Corsico, serotonin booster, norepinephrine, and antidepressant. Just two pills, and you'll go,
yeah!
Corsico, antidepressants.
A proud sponsor, One-on-One with Bud Dickman.
And now back to One-on-One with Bud Dickman.
Thanks a lot, and welcome back. One-on-One, I'm Bud Dickman, and I'm here with Kenny Slagg. I'm here with Malcolm Esposito, and we're going to bring on now Kenny Slagg. Mr. Slagg, as you know, we've been talking about him with Malcolm Esposito about when Mr. Slagg left the air of his infomercial. He had a very popular infomercial, 21st Century Principle, and now he's homeless and everything. Welcome to the Bud Dickman One-on-One, Mr. Slagg.
Hi, thanks a lot for having me on. There's a couple of things that Malcolm is saying that are grossly wrong.
Well, I'm just trying to put the best possible spin on it, Mr. Slagg.
No, you're not. You're not at all, Malcolm. What you're doing is dragging my reputation through a large, almost a lake of vomit. A lake of vomit and human evacuation.
Well, look, Mr. Slagg.
Human evacuation. Is what you're dragging my reputation to.
All right, let's, hold on, Mr. Slagg. Hold on. It's Bud Dickman. Now, what exactly has Mr. Esposito...
My name's Malcolm Esposito.
Is Mr. Esposito saying that's wrong?
How about everything? First of all, he says that I was arrested for a personal foul against a mango?
Well, if that's wrong, that's in the paper.
Yeah, I was arrested for an indecent act in my car, and crimes against nature. And they never expressed... See, now I'm talking like you.
Well, did they express what it was?
They did not express technically what I was doing.
Well, that's what we're trying to find out. What technically was you doing?
That would help a lot if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Slagg, to tell us what you was doing.
Oh, would it help a lot? Really? All right, I'll tell you what I was doing. It was an act against nature. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, but what was it? It was not a personal foul against a mango, right?
They said a personal foul against a salon. That's on the books in Colorado, yes. But that's not what I was charged with. I was charged with an indecent act, a crime against nature.
Okay, well, then my brother Hal said that you had a stalk of celery and you was inserting it.
Yes, okay, yes. That's what I was doing. God, I was pushing a stalk of celery up there. That's way different from going, yee, with a fucking mango, and the fact that you would accuse me.
Okay, hold on for a minute, Mr. Slagg. I can't allow you to yell and scream and everything like that. You must calm down. You simply must.
I'm sorry. I really am. Malcolm, I'm sorry.
Well, if I got it wrong, I'm very happy to correct the record. But you tell me they said it was a personal foul against a salad. You're saying a crime against nature, but you say you had a stalk of celery, and you're saying you stuck it up there.
Oh, God, would you please correct your lisp? Please?
I was your announcer, and I made you look good.
No, you didn't. When you came on the show, we were on the... That's, I think, I traced the fact that the show went downhill and then off a cliff and exploded in a dry riverbed. That's what happened to me in my show. I trace it to the day you came on my show with your lisp. What do you think about that?
That's, you know, the sour grapes. It's your show. See, it's the sour grapes. On account of you can't stand the fact that Malcolm Esposito announces on the show it's sour grapes.
It's sour grapes. Is everybody sour grapes? This guy.
No, I mean, you are blaming him for something that essentially was your fault, Mr. Slagg. Now, I take your side. I understand. They had it wrong. It was not a crime. It was not a personal foul against the mango.
Well, it was a personal foul against the salon, which is what was... The law said that. Oh, God. Hold on for a minute. I have asthma. Hold on.
I'm sorry, Mr. Flagg. I don't mean to get you upset.
Bullshit.
You got to control yourself, Mr. Slag, here on one-on-one with Bud Dickman, okay?
Oh, okay. Here on one-on-one with Bud Dickman. So I sat in a parked car in Denver, Colorado, and I had a stalk of celery. That's what the judge asked me about. That's what I admitted to, and that's what's in the court record. And I inserted it in my rectum. But I will tell you...
Don't you think that's embarrassing?
Yeah, it sounds kind of embarrassing and everything.
Here I am talking to a couple of guys that don't even talk good. And I'm the one sleeping on my ex-producer's couch.
What's going on? Are you broke? You not have no money?
No, I don't have no money. I have no money.
You can't make fun of people, Mr. Flagg, on account of they don't talk good. You're the one that stuck the celery up it.
Shit.
What do you got planned? What's in your future?
What's in my future? A long, dark, black road that leads to hell. That's in my future. Is that what you really asked?
But there's always another day. There's always a new day to breathe new air.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Mr. Flagg, there can be a reclamation. If you want, I'll come back as your announcer, and we'll get back the Kenny Flagg principles of abundance.
But what about it, Mr. Slag? You're not doing anything. Might as well take another run at it.
If I can get another studio, and I'm not working in your brother's studio, Malcolm, okay?
What about me as an announcer?
I mean...
Geez, Steve, all you got now.
I'm not working with your brother. I just want you to know, I will not work in his studio. The day I ran into you two guys is the day that my life became an automobile...
Right, sailing off a cliff and hit a dry riverbed.
Yeah, there you go. Hey. A dry riverbed where it exploded with sparks and flames, and then a figure staggering out of it, on fire himself, collapsing face first down in dry brush that then erupts into flame. That figure, me.
God damn, man. Mr. Flagg, what a horrifying image.
I don't care anymore. Okay?
I think there's a lot that can be done for you if you'll simply listen to Malcolm Esposito and what he says.
Oh, sure. Are you guys crazy or something? I was Kenny Slag. I had the principles of abundance in the 21st century. And I'm going to learn from this guy. I'm going to learn from Sylvester the Cat here.
Mr. Slag, you should have humility. And that is your way back.
What are you listening to? Anyway, it sounds like some right-wing show.
I don't know what this is. Some shit. It's Michael Sanders.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Slag.
Why did I even call?
There's Kenny Slag here on a Bud Dickman one-on-one with Malcolm Esposito as we get to the bottom of what happened to Kenny Slag.
One-on-one with Bud Dickman on the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Bud Dickman, and I want to remind you to get all the one-on-ones with Bud Dickman by subscribing to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. There's only one, this one with Malcolm Esposito and Kenny Slag. And, you know, I don't know how good it's going to be. I got to listen to it and then edit it and everything. But it maybe it's going to be pretty good.
Yes, subscribe to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website and get all editions of One-on-One with Bud Dickman. For a very small price monthly or yearly, the world-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass, your entree to the finer things, the world of class, culture, and Dickman.
Thank you.
And now back to One-on-One with Bud Dickman.
My next guest, I think you'll all agree, is the premier sports voice on a Phil Henry Show. And he talks a lot about football and everything. We haven't had a chance to catch up with him. I'm very happy he's coming on here. It's Coach Vernon Dozier. Coach Dozier, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I don't know exactly why you asked me on this program, but...
Well, we want to talk to you about the world of sports and what you think about, see, the football and everything.
Well, I don't know if Phil told you. I hate football.
You hate football. You're a football coach.
Yes, I am.
Oh, and what got you to hate football?
What got me to hate football is coaching football. what got me to hate football was coaching high school football specifically. And what really got me to hate football was coaching high school football and then having to turn around and go, oh, hi, how are you, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so? The parents, they're the ones that got me to despise coaching football.
Okay, this is very interesting. So the players, what about the game itself?
The game's fine. I like the game, and I like the players. But when I had to swing around there and during a game, because I could hear a guy say, hey, coach, why don't you put my kid in? Hey, coach, why don't you do this play? And I'd turn around and I'd look at some a parent up there, and I'd give them I'd say, like, just go away from me. I'd wave them off, just please go away. And they wouldn't, you know. And then they'd show up practice days, and they'd, why aren't you playing my kid? Until finally, we had a string of three bad seasons there.
Now, you're about to talk about how you pulled them off.
That's exactly what I'm going to talk about. We had three bad seasons, and at the last game of the season, we were playing Rendell Tech or Flemation. I don't even know the school we were playing. That's how important it was to me. Like, not at all. But I did say, we're going to win. We're going to win this game, and we're at least going to go out on a winning note. And if we didn't win, I'm going to stroll back to the locker room, not run, stroll very calmly back to the locker room in the way you see coaches leave a field.
Yeah.
Without my pants on.
So you're going to take your pants off?
I was going to take my pants off in the middle of the field and drop them there and stroll off the field. Now, it was a particularly hard-fought football game, and I think the game ended on a bad penalty or something, because I went out there, I was angry, and I was arguing with the referee. But as I was arguing with him, I was taking my pants off and my underwear.
That, were you wearing street shoes?
Yes, I was. I was wearing two regular street shoes, actually dress shoes. These dress shoes I had on were a leather, and they had a sort of a faux velvet top to them, because there are some dress shoes. I wanted to dress up. You know, it's a football game.
But you were with velvet on them?
It's not some fan. What do you think?
It sounds like you're like a dancer or something.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they were dance shoes. Because I used to be a dancer.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I used to dance.
You used to dance to pay your way from town to town.
When I was looking for coaching jobs, yeah, and I had to live on the road. I didn't have a lot of money. And between jobs, I'd go into each town and I'd say, can I dance in your cafe? I've told a story before.
Yeah, I understand.
So I had a pair of my dance shoes. I stripped my pants off and underwear, and all I had were the dance shoes, and I had and socks, black dress socks. And I began to stroll. And that's when two of these parents came out of the stands, and they had what looked like a big Indian blanket that they wrapped around my waist. So I was robbed of a moment of protest. I was robbed of a moment of protest against a season that had not gone well for us, not because the parents were entirely to blame, but they had a lot to do with it. And I couldn't even have my moment of protest. That was robbed of me by these two parents, two of the more vocal fathers, by the way. Two of them had boys in our program, two boys on our varsity squad, and both these guys wouldn't shut up all season long. And now, when I want to protest their actions contributing to the demise of our season, and I pull my pants off and underwear, and I'm strolling very calmly, I'm talking to the referee and congratulating the opposing coach.
You're congratulating the opposing coach without the pants?
That's what I'm telling you.
What did he do?
He kind of laughed, shook my hand, said, hey, you know, Vernon, we'll see you next season. That was it. We met midfield, and I walked off, and I was talking to their ref. He said he'd refer my complaint to the CIF, and I had no pants on. And I felt comfortable as I walked off.
Did you hear any other parents? Was anybody saying anything?
I heard some boos. I heard boos coming from the opposing side because they knew I was protesting how rinky-dink that call was. And, you know, we should never have lost that game. That team that we got beat by, that was the last straw for me. That team stunk. So I'm walking off, and here come these two parents.
You know the names of the parents?
I do, but I'm not gonna go into it. I don't want to get into any more trouble than I already got into. But and they wrapped this blanket around me and said, oh, wow, you know, you got to. And I said, would you take that off? I said, I tried to get the blanket off of me, but they hustled me into the locker room. And that's when I was met with a court order. They commanded, the court order demanded that I
stand in front of a judge, a competency hearing.
Yeah, because they thought you were nuts. Why don't you understand that that's probably what they, what they're going to think?
No, I don't. I really don't. Because here's the thing. You can say a man's crazy if he does something and you don't know why he did it. I had very specific A, B, C, D, E, F, D, E, F, G reasons as to why I did what I did. I said, Your Honor, I took my pants off to show my disdain and contempt for the CIF and the shoddy way that they officiated that football game, to show my disdain and contempt toward the football parents who had done nothing but intrude and interfere in the process of us trying to prepare our games week in, week out. And also I was showing my disdain and my protest against lack of support from the administration.
Yeah, but they're going to ask you, okay, then why would you show it in a way to take the pants off?
Why would I want...
Why did you do that?
I did it because that showed very strongly how I felt about their phony baloney indignity. Just to show contempt for the entire process. And I can't think of a better way to protest your maltreatment than by taking only the pants off, leaving on dress shoes and socks. What are you looking at? Yeah, folks, this guy's sitting here laughing.
I'm not... I mean, it is kind of funny... I don't get it.
It doesn't matter to me whether you get it or not. That is the biggest form of contempt. You know, I had a neighbor, a guy by the name of Ben Dry. This was a great guy. And he had an argument with me over a property line and some ivy that I was growing and some flowers. And he thought that they were encroaching on his property. He came over to talk to me about it, not wearing any pants or underwear.
Jesus.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the hell do you think you're doing? He said, I'm showing you how serious I'm taking this. I find you encroaching on my property line to be very, very serious. And I've come over here minus my pants and underwear. And he pointed, and there they were laying on my side of the property line to show you how insulted I am. So I can only return the insult by standing here and with everything hanging out and showing you what you've reduced me to. And I said, you know what, Ben, I got to respect that. And I shook his hand.
You shook the man's hand.
Well, I sure didn't grab his...
No, I'm not saying that.
I shook his hand. Yes, I did.
We're talking here with Coach Vernon Dozier about his leaving football and everything like that. And we're going to be right back in a moment here on 101 with Bud Dickman on Coach Vernon and Coach Vernon Dozier.
One-on-one with Bud Dickman. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, this is Bud Dickman reminding you to join us tonight on the Phil Henry Show chat. It starts at 7 p.m. It's at the Phil Henry Show website at philhenryshow.com. If you're a Backstage Pass member and you've not been on our chat, then you should go on the chat. And also tell Jeff Baker who you are and give him your zip code, and he'll get on the BSP map. And every chat Mr. Henry is on, he shows you the map and shows you all of the BSPs that we have, not only in America, but around the world, with BSPs in Australia, China, like the Middle East, and some in Germany, and some in England and everything, and some in Canada, and then a lot of people in America too.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show chat tonight at 7 p.m. at philhenryshow.com. And now back to more of One-on-One with Bud Dickman.
Thanks a lot, everybody. I'm Bud Dickman, and we're wrapping up here with Coach Vernon Dozier. So you were ordered to attend a competency hearing when you walked off the field. What year was that?
That was 2 years ago. That was the end of the 2018 season, I think. Yeah, the end of the 2018 season. The following season, we had just as bad a season, and we did not play in 2020.
Was there football? I mean, there was football in Florida and stuff.
I don't care if there was football in Florida. They can do whatever they want with their kids there. The one good decision the CIF made and Governor Newsom, we didn't have no football. At least we didn't in our school. They gave us the choice. And I was asked by Father McQuarters, who's our administrator and the headmaster of the school, principal of the school, he said, what do you think, Coach? I said, I wouldn't go near a football field. You think I want to stand there and breathe? I have to breathe that air anyway, and I got parents breathing on me?
They're going to breathe on me and put me in intensive care in an oxygen tent, strangling to death on someone's COVID breath.
I certainly understand that.
Yeah. So I said, no way, and we did not play.
No plans of playing this year?
We do hope to play this year.
So you haven't, you say you hate football, but not really.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to put up chicken wire. I'm going to put up a big string of chicken wire, fencing, anything I can, separating me from the crowd, so I don't have to listen to any of these parents, or at least have them come on the field and talk to me. Otherwise, the pants come off again.
I'm surprised you did not get fired. Was you not fired?
Was I not fired?
Did you get fired by Coach McQuarters?
You mean Father McQuarters?
I mean, yeah, Father McQuarters.
No, I did not. And the reason is he knows I'm a damn good football coach. And
you're sure? I mean, yeah, I know you're a good coach, but
I'm sure about what?
You're sure there isn't some other reason? Because that's a pretty extreme thing.
Yeah, it's extreme. It was a very extreme statement. I said, "You come near me again," and I'm telling you, I don't want any more. I don't want to hear from any of them. Okay, and I want the CIF to get their officiating down. Otherwise, I'm walking out with no pants on again. And you know something? I'm glad I did it.
The next time they're going to put you away.
How do you know?
Because that's crazy stuff. Yeah, competency hearing and everything.
So I had a competency. Yeah, that's not the first competency hearing I've had. Listen, they wanted to put me away when I asked my wife, Mindy, to back her truck to back the Humvee over my hand. And I have her do that every week that we lose. She backs that Humvee over my hand. They wanted to put me away on that one. Then they wanted to put me away because I pulled the pants down. And
you took them off?
No. This was like 4 years ago. I pulled my pants down. I didn't take them off. I just pulled them down and made like I was going to.
Oh, my God.
What's your problem, man?
Well, what is that, man? Is that a protest?
You know something, Dickman? You ought to be grateful I came on this show to talk to you. Don't give me your... I ought to be talking to Phil Hendry. I'm sitting here talking to your mumbling ass.
Okay, you know what, man?
No, I'm serious.
You sit down, you go, you squat it down as if you're going to take one.
I pulled my pants down. I squatted. I didn't do what you said I did.
But you're making it look like it.
I was making it look like it, yeah. Because I was protesting what they've done to me.
What prompted you to pull your pants down?
I forget. That doesn't. What is this?
This is the closing theme to the show.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm done, huh? Thanks a lot, everybody. So if you want to see me yank my pants down, come on out to next season's games, you know, because I'll probably be just as... One-on-one with Bud Dickman and Coach Vernon Dozier. Also guest Malcolm Esposito, along with Harvey Wireman. One-on-one with Bud Dickman. Executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. I pulled him down. I didn't pull him off.
No, I understand that, but Jesus.
You guys think you're better than everybody else. That's your problem.
Better than anybody else. At least I don't pull it down.
Pull what down, man?
Your pants.
You didn't pull my pants down.
Pulling my pants down.